up top, we're going up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're going up top, we're going up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. We're out for a couple of weeks, Sabbath, due to a nil-all draw in the Aviva. There wasn't much to talk about, and a very hungover week post-Sligo at my old age. The capabilities of being able to socialise following a 12-hour session with bowls on a Saturday is just not what it used to be when I was in my prime 20s. Unfortunately, there are two men who are sad enough to join me here on this Monday evening. Woko and Horny Pete, man, how are we getting on?
Yeah.
All good, Jordo, yeah.
Yeah, good, Jordo. Still riding the high off Friday. Not even a dismal Saturday evening in Croke Park, but dampen the spirits. But yeah, all good.
Yeah, we are recording here late on Monday night. So anyone that's tuning in, don't be afraid to hit the L share button there on Twitter. If you're looking at it, or if you're looking in the top right hand side of your Spotify, click that, put it on your story, give us a tag, cost you bleeding nothing. Pete, we're just coming off the back of a couple of good results here, but I'll start off with the 1-1 and Tallaght. I believe you're on site to watch it.
No, I was watching United, but I was tracking it, and I just presumed, like probably everyone else, when Rovers went 1-0 up and talked out the 10 men, that would be that. But a late equaliser, yeah, so happy days. That's all positive, and give us another little shot in the arm going into Friday.
Absolutely, and as I said, we'll rewind a little bit here. We won't touch too much on Aviva. I think when I said it, you know, Monday or Tuesday, Pete, there's no point in a podcast because there's not much to talk about.
No, certainly not. No, it was a bit of a. It was a great day. I think it turned out well. I think the crowd probably was decent as well. But in terms of the match, in hindsight, now it's a shame we didn't nick it. We'd be in some position now if we had a nick that game. But yeah, I think it was just a bit of a war of attrition, really, wasn't it? And I think both teams were happy to get out there unscathed. And we've obviously kicked on since then. So all good since then.
Yeah, and obviously there was a little bit of breaking news. Connor, if you want to talk about a little bit, James McManus out the door and young Zane Myers in the door. Bit of a mixed reaction online. A lot of people believe McManus should have got the minutes and maybe he probably should have hung around, but he's 20 years of age. First team football is probably priority.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a good move. I don't see the harm in having one of our brightest young players having another season under John Russell, especially when you look at the depth that we've got in midfield. Like, you've got obviously Dawson, you've got McDonald, Diallo now coming in, Morahan, you'd imagine with Darragh Power will be playing a lot more in midfield. Like, there's depth there, absolutely. And as I said, he's young, it'd be great to kind of get him a bit of game time. With Myers, I think like everyone else, I've not seen anything of him. I know they said he's left footed, a winger. So another bit of an option there with Rooney. I know Tierney, Vaughan, Parsons, all kind of right-footed. So maybe another option off the right-hand side or the left-hand side if they want to whip balls in. But yeah, no, two positive days as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, another year for McManus at West. Not the worst thing by a long stretch.
Pete, you're probably a bit the opposite side of that, are you?
No, I wouldn't say I'm the opposite. I'm just torn. Like, I suppose I want to see a prosperous James McManus in the team. I want him to be the future of our midfield. But again, on the other hand, I understand the reason behind this. Like, you have McDonald to come back in, you have Diallo to come back in. So you want him playing, but I just wish he was ready now. I just think he's such a lovely footballer. He's great to watch. I love watching him. And I'd love to see him in that midfield, but again, I understand the reason behind it. So hopefully he can come back. We'll probably have one or two maybe at the end of the year that might be moving on. So hopefully he'll be ready in the next 12, 18 months to be a focal point of our midfield, because he's a fantastic footballer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's probably good that we do get him minutes on his belt. He is only 20 years of age. I know he feels like he's been around for longer than the last 2 or 3 years, but, you know, Pete Long welcome in, and he just feels like he's probably in his mid-20s now, but still plenty of football to play. And just from thinking about from one bad weather to the other, just want to thank everyone that came to the live podcast and showed up in the dreary conditions. And of course, to the guests, Roddy Wardy and Denny, it was a great night, bit of crack, good laugh. And Pete, you made your live podcast debut. Did you enjoy it?
Well, I was out the McGowan till 4 o'clock the next morning with a few familiar faces, so it obviously didn't go too badly. Yeah, it took me about a week to recover after that, but no, it was a good night. I enjoyed it. Roddy was a bit of crack, and the two boys were fantastic. Dinny and Wardy, very interesting. Wardy's a great bit of crack. Dinny was great as well. So yeah, no, I enjoyed it, even if I did pay for it for 4 or 5 days after. But I suppose for you.
Yeah, absolutely. We move on to one bit of torrential weather to the other, and that was in the showgrounds there a couple of weeks ago on Saturday. And I've made the track down myself, and I was behind the goal for the first half, stupidly enough. I think I weathered. I was going to the ground, went into the toilet. I missed the goal while I was in the toilet. I'm out of the toilet, stood in the pissing rain for 35, 40 minutes. Bowls didn't have the ball in their own half for the whole entire period of time. So it was coming to half time. I was soaking wet, freezing cold. I said, I'll do a pizza and I'll retire myself to Mooney's across the road and watch it on the big screen. It was totally fantastic performance. We had them box in the whole first half. I just couldn't believe how much high pressure we had on. Played a bit of a 4-4-2 formation, kept it simple, played the conditions very well. And Colin Wynn pops up with 3 goals. Cole, is it hopefully the kickstart for him now or?
Yeah, I hope so. On the return to Mooney's, I definitely don't blame you. I wasn't there myself. I don't think I've ever had less fear of missing out than I did that day watching the highlights and watching the torrential rain. I hope so. Yeah, Whelan has been a player that I've loved for years since he was at UCD, and he seemed to be scoring every week. It was like you were checking the scores from around the ground at half time and in the second half every week, and you'd say, geez, your man Whelan scored again. I think it was him and Liam Kerrigan in that UCD team where scoring goals for fun. And then obviously he's meant to go over to England. It falls through with the injuries. Derry take a chance at him, and that chance didn't pay off. I know a lot of people were wondering would he stick around this year. I think it was good last year. I think what he needed, he got exactly what he needed, and that was nearly a full season of kind of just consistent minutes under his belt. He chipped in with the odd goal, but the main thing was he was fit and he was sharp. And I thought he changed the game. I know we kind of didn't touch on the Lansdowne game. The less said about it, probably the better. It was a very boring game, but I thought when Whelan came on, we sparked into life. I love, all he wants to do is get on the ball and move it and get us going forward. Probably a bit to be desired in terms of what he does in the box, but I think everything around, and I think that's why maybe the 4-4-2 will work this year, hopefully with him and Taylor, because Taylor is someone who likes to get on the end of the ball and then likes to put it in the back of the net. But Whelan definitely links up the play really well, and I think he absolutely changed the game in Lansdowne. So yeah, hopefully a bit of a start of a good run for him.
Yeah, I did worry about Whelan sort of last year because he had the two obviously ACL injuries. He just was obviously injured for basically the best part of 2.5 years, probably 3 years. I remember last year I was just looking at him when he was sort of being thrown into the deep end a little bit on his own up front, and he definitely seems to suit the two more than the one, obviously. But it just felt like this player, he hasn't got pace. He doesn't seem to find the ability to for the ball to fall to him inside the box anywhere. His hold up play was okay. He's not a big busty number nine. Like, he's not a battering ram like an Afolabi or an Andre Wright. He's not that got that physicality. He's probably a little bit smarter than that in terms of coming short and being able to do that. But I did fear the worst. I thought, look, he's not really offering us anything. But if the ball fa seems to fall to him in the box, he seems to be able to put it away. Which, when you've got two players up front, I think it's probably inevitable it's going to drop to him maybe once or twice. So I think the two up front is probably going to suit us. And obviously, the second man we want to be alongside him is Douglas James Taylor, which I don't know, he's been very frustrating. He's not been
Yeah,
able to kick
it's.
going. He's not been able to get going. And I don't know, there's a small bit of me, the cynic in me, just thinking it's just a player who's not able to play through any sort of pain barrier. If he has a bruised toe, does he say I can't play? Maybe it's just a cynic in me thinking that he could be weak mentally maybe in that state, or maybe he is carrying a true knock. But when you hear that he's going to be out for a few weeks before the season starts, and then he comes in for one game and then fought Derry last week, I don't think he's probably lined up to play at all. I don't know where you stand with him. It's just fucking annoying, isn't it?
I don't think he's fit. I just don't think he's fit. I don't think he's had a proper pre-season. I don't think he when he signed was I don't think he was fit. And we just can't have a our focal points not been available for. I don't know what his percentage of games he's been available to not been available for. But you just have no faith that he's going to go on a 10, 15, 20 game run, score goals, and be available and be our number nine or be our number 10, whatever way he wants to play. As you said, it's extremely frustrating. And even when he has played, he's probably flatter to deceive a little bit as well. So probably not time to hit the panic button, but there's definitely a couple of signs there that would have you concerned about that signing in general. So it's a big couple of weeks from a big game on Friday. I know Reynolds probably doesn't tell the truth and the whole truth when he's, talking about players and injuries and the whole lot, but he said that Taylor wanted to play, and they just said they weren't going to risk him on that pitch. So if you take that at face value, you'd like to see him trotting out of the tunnel on Friday evening. But yeah, it's a big couple of weeks for him. He needs to get himself right. He doesn't want to, windows closed now, where he's going to be the main man. So that's what we're left with,
Yeah,
I
it's only
think
important.
he's really struggled with the up in intensity from moving from Jota. Like if you look at how Kevin Doherty played, especially when Taylor was there, like there was a lot of kind of just shuttling runs with Jota probably having every man in their own half, where he's expected to probably press a lot more from the front with Bowes, like with Reynolds, and I think that increase in intensity has definitely shown in him. I don't think he was necessarily 100% fit when we got him. And I don't think he's been 100% fit since. So like there's obviously a player there, like he scored a few good goals. There was a screamer, I think it was Galway at home. But he's had a few good performances, so you're hoping with a bit of run together he could start to string some performances as well. Because I think the two strikers, there's definitely moments last year, like I know William got his hat trick in Waterford. He checked, not I won't say he entirely changed the game, but he was excellent out in Tala on Easter Monday. I think both players have had their moments. It's just about kind of putting them together and hopefully in a connection with each other on the pitch instead of just one off from each of them.
Yeah, most certainly. And when you want to play two up front, and your Martin's probably maybe just not at the right level yet to be starting alongside Colin Wayne. But even if he does start alongside Colin Wayne, and you've no options off the bench, so again, it's probably gonna have to be a bit of a case of Reynolds bingo as we go along. But we did go up to Sligo. We got a 4-0 victory. I think it was a 4-0 in the end, Cop. Just
Yeah,
trying to remember
four,
anyway.
yeah.
4-0 win.
Yeah,
Our biggest away win in quite some time. I think probably the last time we won 4-0 away from home was maybe that UCD game where Paddy Kavanagh opened up the score on the first game of the season. If memory serves me right, but
it's been a long
we
time.
went trudging into another away game there, Pete, and up in Derry in the Brandywell. I was there myself alongside Ellie and Kev Dennehy, but it's probably the worst away end to try watch a game from. It feels like you're almost in the Olympic Stadium, thrown away in that corner. And my old age and my old eyes, so everything past the halfway line is a bit of a blur, and Bowes and the black kneecap strip, everything looked like shadows from that point on. But I thought it was an excellent
We're welcomed
performance.
into the bar this season now.
No, we weren't welcome to the home bar. It was very much
I
in
think
and
that's a
out
thing of the
the
past now, is
the DUP gave us an escort in and out of the stadium.
it?
So we're happy enough to get out of there safe and sound. Like good Bowes continued travelled up about 170 odd fans, and that was including people who couldn't get tickets because it was obviously the members only. But again, I thought we played very, very well. I thought we controlled the game. Reynolds came out after the match and said he didn't think we'd done well first half. I thought we'd done very well first half. I thought we had them pinned back with a lot of control. Ross Tierney has probably missed a great chance to put us 1-0 up. I think Tierney would play brilliant. I think his turnover and up in the opposition toward half of if the pitch is incredible this season. I think just to nick the ball, take the foul or go down, or even his dribbling ability was great, but it's just that little bit of clinical finishing that he's probably missing on that maybe stopping us from going on and winning the game 2 or 3 nil. I think his finishing wasn't great last year, and I just hope that clicks for me. If he can get like 7, 8, 9 goals this season, that could be the difference between us fourth and maybe pushing up a little bit higher in the table.
Yeah, he started the season really, really well, Tierney, and that ball in Sligo for Whelan's second goal was a that would put the class. But yeah, just to touch on the support, like I thought the support was fantastic. I really wasn't expecting decent numbers up there, given the restrictions and given obviously what went on there last year. So to see a boisterous away end and people enjoying themselves and get the win, that was fantastic to see. It was one of those games where I suppose at half time you were saying if we can up this in another 5-10%, these are here for the taking. They're no great shakes at all, Derry. They might turn into a better team or they might gradually improve, but that game was definitely there for the taking, I think was the message at half time. And it's great to get out there with a win. It sets us up so well now going in with two away wins. And going back to Dalymount on Friday. So a very, very, very pleasing night. And the world was a happier place the weekend after that win, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it was a third clean sheet on the trot there. Hickey and Todd, they look like two centre halves that one, they have a great bit of quality on the ball, but I don't know what you call. They look like they have the bit between their teeth when the ball goes in behind. Serious aggression to get back and get it back on the goal side of the man, or get a toe to something without, causing a foul. I know we probably had a bit of a false flag or a false dawn with the Orient Court a couple of years ago with Novak and Casper. Didn't think they went on a good spell at the start, but these two boys look like they've
Yeah.
a bit more about them.
I think Amazon ran out of Polish flags there at the start of 2023 when we were going on that run. I think we all got a little bit carried away with ourselves with Novak and Rakowski. Yeah. Now these two lads look like fucking animals. Like there's no other way to put them. Like every ball that goes in the air, like I know Josh Thomas is a bit nippy and he gets around the corners, but then when they brought on Akanyemi, you're thinking this guy is a unit and he's got a great header up there against us last year. But they just dealt with it. Like every ball, every header, like they work great from the two of them when the ball goes behind them to get back and get themselves in shape. I think Hickey in particular has been a great communicator. Looks like he's always talking to the people in front of him and around him. Looks like he's organising things, which is funny. Like you think for someone who played in attacking midfield last year, that he might be kind of lacking that kind of positional awareness. But no, him and Todd look excellent. I think Friday, and we'll move on to Friday in a bit, it'll be a different test. But like I think, geez, they've passed every test so far. Like I suppose we haven't conceded a goal, so that goes without saying. But yeah, I thought the two of them were excellent in the Aviva, even when the midfield got passed through, especially in that first half sometimes. Thought they stood up really well. And again, especially last night, like Derry did put the pressure on there towards the end, but never won, barred Josh Thomas missed it. They looked like they were going to score. And I think that was a lot of to do with the organisation of the back four and Casper as well. The first half, I thought, yeah, like the first half, I thought the first 25 minutes, I thought we were really good. Thought we got at them and pressed and had our line share the ball. Thought they got into it then in the kind of second half of the first half. But yeah, the second half, I thought was ours. I thought we could have had four or five. When you look at it, like they got a bit desperate. I thought they looked really leggy, and that's probably because they're a bit of an older team than us. Like I thought the two Macleans in particular were really kind of leggy there towards the end. Gave away, I think both of them gave away sloppy passes, which in the end resulted in chances for us. Like that could have been more. So yeah, no, really pleasing performance.
Yeah, Pete, I know you're on the live show. Cole, you weren't there. I think you were washed out that evening. But
Yeah, absolutely.
what he did say, McLean was probably the worst signing Derry will make. I had a bit of a feeling that wasn't too far off. I know Reddy probably came a bit more of a catch headline approach to it, but he's basically, you kind of wonder how can you take him out of the team? He's clearly not a centre midfielder. He's not able to play the ball. He's very left footed. He doesn't have great ability on his right foot. He wasn't known ever as a technical brilliant player. He was kick and run and he'll chase everything and fight to the death for you. So I think you're probably maybe expecting him to be shifted out the left at some stage. I know it's an us problem, but he is a major talking point in the league.
I think he'd be good enough to play there, and I think as the season goes on, he'll probably grow into that role a little bit more. He's played at the championship level, he's played at the Premiership level. I don't think playing the middle of the field is going to be a problem for him. He can still move the ball, he can still get around the pitch. He probably hasn't had his best of games, but I'm not buying into that. That's going to be the reason why Derry won't kick on. Don't think the manager's up to it. I've never been impressed with the manager. And I think the way they've gone about their business now, I think they've four away games coming up, have they? Because they've started with the four at home.
No, they've still got, I think, three out of the next five are still at home. I was having a look at that, I thought that myself, but no, they've still got quite a front load at home. Fixtures got another home away than home again, as far as I know.
I think they go
Yeah,
for
they
talent,
are.
so that run of home games is going to flip at some stage, and that'll really be that'll really test them because they were really poor away from home last year as well. So I don't know. I don't know. I just don't. I don't see McLean as a problem. He might be a problem in the dressing room. I think on the pitch, he'll certainly have enough quality to play wherever they want to play him, you know.
Yeah, I suppose looking at his opposite on Saturday, and I'm not sure, Pete, you're around a lot longer than me, but I'm looking at Dawson Avoy here, and there's a maybe it's a good feel around the club at the minute, but there's a bit of a feel of a coming of age that Dawson Avoy. I'm looking at him now, and he just has a fear that he's going to be the next Kevin Hunt. He's going to be the next Jackie James, and he seems like he could maybe stay at his career at Bowles. I think we all have this feeling that he's the person that's going to drag us to the next level. He's going to bring us up. You can maybe talk about Dawson Avoy in 20 years' time as Bowles' probably best ever player. Maybe I'm getting carried away with the moment and what we're in, but there's no one in the league that can touch him at the minute. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to watch him play every week, and we're probably blessed that he's at Bowls. You've been around longer than I have, Pete. Is there this feeling about him from your perspective?
Absolutely. Like he definitely has the ability. He mightn't have that personality off the pitch, but he certainly shows personality on the pitch. I think this season is probably the first season where you've heard a lot of outside noise. You know, we've always been shouting from the rooftops about him, even when he came into the team first of all. But I think he's now getting that acknowledgement from around the league that yeah, you know, this fella is one of the best players in the league, if not the best. He's a joy to watch. Like he really is. He's a bit of everything. We've talked about him on this podcast. We've lamented him. He can do it going forward. He can do it defending. He gets around the pitch. He's the captain of the team, so I mean, he's obviously well respected. And he's just, as you said, he's a joy to watch at the minute. But the world is his oyster. The Bohemian world is his oyster at the moment. He's going to lead us into Europe, and if he keeps going the way he's going, yeah, he'll definitely be up there. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah,
You can
and he
just
did get
tell
that.
every player on the pitch looks for him, like especially in the back four and whoever's partnering in the midfield, they look for him to give him the ball. Like he's the outlet ball every time because we know he's going to be able to take the ball on the turn, take a man on, and be able to shift it. Like he's so good at so many different things. I played against him a good bit growing up, especially when he was at home farm and a bit then when he moved to Kevin's. He was always a joke. Like from the age of about 7 or 8, like you'd be checking the paper and seeing you were playing home farm and hoping he was sick or on holidays or something like that because he was that good. Like whatever for whatever reasons, never worked out for him in England, but their loss is our game because he's been phenomenal. Like
Yeah.
especially like I thought he was great when he left. But I think he's come back a different player. Like he was like when he left, you were looking at Dawson and Bucco as that kind of pivot where it was Bucco did the dirty work and Dawson was kind of the nicer footballer. Doesn't like Dawson does the dirty work now and he still has that about him. Like he's classic. There's no, I don't think there's a midfielder in the league and I know there's good midfielders in the league, but I don't think there's one that I'd take ahead of him at the minute.
Yeah, well, you're looking for winners in your team, you're looking for leaders and people to step up. A lot of it is about moments. And I think we probably lacked that in Bowles for the last 2 or 3 years. Dawson came up with a lot of big moments last year. You know, he came up, we basically brought the onslaught and Tallaght when we came back from that 3-2 win. He hit the crossbar against Sligo at a time that would have spun us on for another 3 points in the last kick of the game. But, you know, it's the top class players in the league. You know, the players that you're worth paying your few grand a week. And he done up in Derry. You know, there wasn't much in the game. It seemed like it was going to peter out maybe to a nil all and maybe someone might get a big chance before the end. But the ball's out 25 yards and 25, 26 yards. He pings it in the top corner and that's a bit of difference. It's a bit of quality and it's a bit of difference maybe from dragging you up a few couple of places in the league.
Oh,
And
that's it. Yeah, turn the draw, a nearly certain draw into a win on Friday night. And as you said, Jordan, you're spot on. Moments and moments of magic that will get us those extra couple of points and turn us from a good team into a better team. So yeah, it's all good with Dawson at the moment. I think you get the feel that you know that we're going to have a good crack at dominating the midfield once he's on the park. We can get someone in around with a bit of leg that, you know, no matter who we come up against, once he's on the ball, he'll make things happen and he'll get other players involved in the game. So it's great to go watch Bowes and know that, as I said, you have a great chance of controlling that midfield and he's on the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely, and we can hopefully see him a bit more on the ball on this Saturday or this Friday night. The wide player is going to be hard to say. I know we sort of mixed up. Mullins played out in that sort of left position. It seems to have made an outlet for Rooney, and you know it's hard to see who comes and where. Looking at the Friday, but before we kick off on Friday, Cole, I do believe you're opening up the Barracks this weekend. You've a few specials on for us.
Yeah, we're back after a long old break. I believe lineup TBC, but I think we can say myself and yourself are on pre-game. So we'll have a good old crack at that. Yeah, there's a few drinks deals on the bar. The 3 for 12 on the cans is back for the game. So absolutely fill your boots, oil up, because we're gonna need everyone to be as loud and as boisterous and as arrogant as we can. Our last year in the bars in Dalymount, like I can't speak for you two lads, but I know from being there, which is like some of the best nights of our lives, have been in that bar until silly o'clock in the morning, celebrating wins, or as not, maybe not as the case, maybe the result didn't matter. But yeah, some great nights in the bar. So hopefully now everyone can kind of get behind it and we can deliver a few more great nights before we say goodbye to it forever. Because I think it's mad. I think someone said it on Twitter the other day. This is the last ever Friday Dublin Derby in this iteration of Dalymount when you think of what that entails and the history of that and all the Friday night games that have happened, that this is the last ever Rovers game on a Friday, which is mad to think. So it is kind of coming into that. Like last, you'll have a lot of those milestones over the season, but this is definitely one of them.
Yeah, well, looking
Any
at what
specials on
the.
the side, or just asking for a friend of mine?
Yeah, 3 for 12 on the Fox, Pete.
Ball
Lovely.
just talked about 5 euro points, I believe, if you win by more than a goal. That's to be
Well,
confirmed. But yeah,
we won't
we are
concede, so yeah, we just need to get the
we are
one.
looking forward to Friday. It's a case of Reynolds Bingo. I think who we know will be playing anyway. It'll be certainly going to be Casper and goal, Todd Hickey. I'd imagine Power, maybe Mullen left. Midfield, Flores. It's hard to see much of a change at all, is there?
Yeah, I think it's as you were. Unless Taylor's fit, maybe, and we go as announced as we were up in Derry. I know Vaughan came in for Taylor. But that's the only change. I think every player has more than put their hand up and said that they're good enough to play. Don't think anyone off the bench has necessarily put their hand up to say they have to be starting either. So I don't know what you think, but
I think
I think
McDonald
it'll
will
be
have
as
to
you
come
were.
in at some stage. I don't know whether McDonald might get a this game might suit McDonald on Friday. I don't know. But other than that, I think the team probably picks itself. Yeah, a lot will depend on Taylor as well. Will he go 4-4-2 again against Rovers? Will he stick an extra man in the middle of the park? It's probably an easy one to go back to the 4-5-1 if Taylor carrying a knock. I don't know. We probably overthink it a little bit, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I think over the years we've always had a bit of success against Rovers with physical strikers. When you think of geez, remember Promise gave Lopez some awful
Yeah,
times, and Afolabi,
absolutely.
Kelly is
Afolabi as
physical.
well,
So I think if Taylor's fit, I think he plays. Just for that reason alone, I know them games are years old now, but a lot of the same faces for Rovers anyway, especially
yeah. But
with
that's
Lopez
the.
and Grace.
That's the thing, Conor. I think the very important thing is do what we've done last year. You press them at the front. Rovers don't
Press
like
them.
being
They
pressed.
hate us. They
They
absolutely hate it,
do
you
not
know?
understand across the league. Every time someone plays them, they sit back off their back three.
Yeah.
Their back line is another year older. We saw how much we got of them last year. You just press them. Some of the play it short, and someone Tierney will get a toe to something, and you turn them over. It's not fucking that hard. Obviously, it is that hard. But I mean, in terms of what you're saying, you just fucking have to press them the first 25 minutes, try to turn them over, get that goal, do it again, and make it a fucking very, very long way back for them.
Yeah,
Oh, sure, we did
the
it
two
last
things.
year.
Yeah, the two things. Obviously, the intensity. How long can you keep that up for? Well, we seemed to do it for nearly 90 minutes last year. But how long can you keep it up for? And if you are going to press and hit them off, as you said, Jordan, you have to make sure you're scoring goals, because if you go and you empty yourself, you press them for the first 50, 60 minutes, and you haven't got your couple of goals, they then empty the bench. And I saw it against Pats there on Friday. It was nil all with 70 minutes in, and they bring Noonan Burke and Byrne off the bench. That's the difference. So ideally, if you can get a couple of goals on them, and then we can maybe cope or deal with whatever they bring off the bench. But yeah, the template's there from last year. We absolutely ran them off the pitch last year. That was
It
one of
could
the
have been
greatest
six at
Bowls
half
performances.
time.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
It
It was
was the best
absolutely
I've ever
unbelievable.
seen a Bowls team play. It was
Yeah.
like I'm not sure I'd ever th I'm not sure I ever thought I'd see better than that Pauk game in the Aviva, when I think a team the size of Pauk come over and you turn them over. But it could have been six at half time. It was like thought McDonald, Rooney, Tierney, Dawson in particular. That might give McDonald the nudge because of how much we benefit from him and his legs pressing high up the pitch in that game. But yeah, the template is there, and teams still sit off them until the cows come. I don't understand that. We never got close to that level then for the rest of the season. That result nearly marked the start of a
Sure,
bit of a
we took
downturn
a
in
2 or 3 month
form.
holiday after that game, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that result was the beginning. I think they might have tired themselves out for the rest of the season in that game alone.
Yeah.
But yeah,
From where
the
we watched the
blueprint is
game in
there.
Section A, you could see how uncomfortable Rovers were against us in that first half last year. Lopez was on his arse, Grace was on his arse. They were giving out to the referee. They were fighting with each other, and we just kept coming at them in waves. It was brilliant. I'd love to see a repeat of that on Friday. I really would. And we can play our part as well. Get in early, get the
Yes.
noise, get the energy going. And as I said, if we're added on the pitch and we're added off the pitch, we give them a good wrap up.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
You probably are probably blessed in that sense with both ends, Pete. You know, A and G are both full of people making a bit of noise. I know. I think the MBB, there was no signing them up in Derry. I think they must have been up and dropped a few flares in the pitch on the Friday gone. Another making talks to getting the F-45 on board for Europe this season to create a bit of atmosphere abroad. But you know that we've got both ends there in the pitch, and you know if the fans can get on top of Rovers, the players getting top of Rovers, you know it can be fucking very hard for them to get out of that tour their own tour of the field.
It's the common denominator, isn't it? For every win that we have against them, the stadium is a cauldron. Like, I always go back to that cup game in 21 when it was 800 of the most rabid animals you've ever seen in your life, and we beat them 2-1. Like, that was. It felt like we got to them that day, and we got to them like it was so loud, it was passionate. And I think that's like, as Pete said, get in early, fucking shout, scream, have your voice gone, but before the game, like it has to be at that. And I think the players definitely responded to that intensity last year, and we're coming off the back of what looked like an absolutely staunch away end as well. Like, it looked absolutely brilliant on telly, like you could hear it from across the pitch. The scenes when the goal went in were great to see as well, and no percussion instruments, which I'm sure you'll be happy to see, Jordo.
Absolutely, and before we just touch on the Friday result, just a little bit of a sort of around the league, and I suppose how we feel. And I know it's easy to get giddy and get ahead of ourselves, but I think we're probably after that season under the vine, we're maybe a little bit more standoffish to get giddy at this stage of the game. But you know, there's definitely a bit of belief about us. We definitely have the quality. Reynolds hasn't got. He's got a right this season now. First him, he has. His transfers have been very good business so far. I know it's very early days. But because of how well we've started, you can't fall back on this team needs time to gel now. That's the other flip side of it. I think we have a good chance now to make some ground. I'm not saying we're going to go on and win the league or anything like that, but you know, Rovers, if they're drawn tonight against Dundalk with 10 men, they're notorious for starting slow. They started slow 2 years ago and they just couldn't catch shells, albeit they were probably ahead with 10 minutes to go when they went up to the Brandywell. But you know, it now is about, you know, you can't win anything at the start of the season, but you most can certainly lose it. And Shells, you know, Paddy Barrett's out injured for a while, it seems. And that Oran Casey lad, this one, Cliff Deville, they're both out for a while because I think Jonathan Rogers' son was actually out on loan from Shells, but
Oh,
he's been
back he was,
recalled.
yeah. He's
He
been
was
called, yeah.
called back. So, you know, Shells have had two bad results now. I think they're going good. I did have a feeling with Chelsea season, everyone was saying they're going to go on and win it. But I just thought maybe could they be that Pats this year? They had that great run at the end and they've sort of maybe over egged their pudding into think what they're going to do this season. They'll have a drop off. They've signed some great players, Jarvis Wood. So you suspect it's going to click for them at some stage. But they're missing their two starting centre halves. And I haven't heard exactly how long they're out for. But they are going to be out for a week or two at least anyway, given that Roach has been recalled back. So now is the time for us to start making fucking ground. Now is the time to start making points, and maybe we can look at where we're at come June.
Yeah, I think Shells will be thereabouts. I think they've too much quality not to be. Small question mark over Joey O'Brien. I know he done fantastically last year, but he's still unproven as a manager, you know. So when things do go a little bit wobbly, how that reacts, or how he does react, or how he gets them back on side, that'll be the only concern if I was a Shells fan. But I think in terms of a squad, they definitely have the squad to be thereabouts. I just love to see us just build on what we've done so far, and if we can get ahead of Pats, if we can get 7 or 8 points ahead of Pats, if we can get a couple of points ahead of Shells, and just keep building on it, and when we get to the international break, the end of March, if we're in a good position, that'll be enough for me in terms of a start. Yeah, like it'll open up lovely if we can get 3 points on Friday. That is the league table be looking very, 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 very pretty.
Yeah, I know. Look, I know we were what were we 7 points ahead in 23 under the Vine at one stage. Like we had a bit of a lead at the top of the league. But I think, look, I was always a bit not critical at the time because obviously we were winning games. But I didn't think performances matched. We were having a lot of scrappy kind of wins. I didn't like. I didn't think that team showed that they weren't maybe as strong as. Maybe this team, I think we're a much better team. I think we're a lot more solid at the back. So hopefully it continues. Yeah. Like I think we nearly showed last year what a bad start can do after we nearly threw Europe away at the end. But hopefully this year it's obviously been a much better start, so we can kick on.
Yeah, we are hoping that start continues. I think we all know. We think the Rovers game look after themselves. They don't see the players not being up for the tailor's wagon. You know, the dog is ready to fucking bite. But I think our all worries will come after in the fixtures that will the follow the Waterford away, the Galway at home. They're the ones where we're probably looking and going, this is where we make a balls of it, as per se. But this is where you need your Dawson Devoy and your Ross Tierney. They want to be fucking winners. Albeit they might not win the league this year, albeit we fucking they might never win the league playing for both. But if they want to be seen as those players who can fucking bring us to the next level, it's those games against Waterford, against Drogheda, against Galway, where they need to be the ones that step up a level two and drag us over the line if needs be.
Yeah, we've never had a problem at home to Rovers. Even when we were on our knees, we used to beat them at home. The record of Daly Mount speaks for itself. The last, I don't know how many years, they hate coming to Daly Mount. Bradley hates coming to Daly Mount. So let's remind them why he hates coming to Daly Mount on Friday. Let's make it as uncomfortable as he can. And if we can kick on and win that game, as you said, then we're into the likes of the Waterfords and the Galways. Where we can try and prove that we're a team that's going to do something this year, but I know we're talking cliches, but Friday look after itself, you would imagine. It's the couple of games after that will show how far we've come from last year,
No, definitely. I think what might be different this year to maybe other years with the Waterfords and the Galway is we've got a bit more of a squad. And look, that can lead to rotating players, but it's also competition. Like, if you're one of the players who's, especially in positions where we've got a lot of depth and you're starting against Waterford or Galway, you're definitely not taking the foot off the pedal because you know you're out next week.
This only becomes an issue when you're not winning games. Nobody can complain when you're on the bench and balls are winning every week. You can't complain.
Oh, 100%.
That's the thing. Like, everyone's happy when you're sort of winning, and the likes of McDonald on the bench. I know Diallo, he's not fit. As far as I know, he basically wasn't training too much in the off season, and balls on him in the new year, and he just still isn't fit. Maybe he might make an appearance on Friday while chasing a goal. I'm not too
Lou
sure
Baskin here,
exactly.
you
Yeah, more or less. Yeah,
at?
but
Christ almighty.
yeah, as far as I can see, is if you are on the fringes as a player, they know. If we lose two or three games, you don't get in the squad. That's when you can be annoyed, to get pissed off. But it's hard to break up that team at the minute. After a 4-0 win, three clean sheets and a draw, and I'm not sure what Reynolds thinks we can do. I know what Dets is like. I know Dets will be fucking telling them players, "Why can't just do it this season?" Fucking Shells were able to do it with probably a weaker squad than we had 2 or 3 years ago. He'll be certainly fucking asking questions of the team in terms of the winning mentality and what they can fucking do this season. Obviously, everything will be kept in house, but it's at some stage. What he did tell us, he says, at some stage, both have to fucking get over this mid-table fiasco, and someone's gonna have to go have a go at it eventually.
Yeah, he kind of contradicted himself, a little bit, didn't he, with that one? He kind of
No.
slagged us off for maybe saying that we'd be happy with a European finish, and then on the other hand, he was telling us to be patient. I didn't quite understand that logic from Roddy, but Alice, no one wants like Daly Mount is the most demanding place on the planet. Like you ask any of the players, and Randall's has alluded to, and that's sometimes where the row comes from because we do demand so much of our players, and we do demand high standards. So. I'm not quite sure where he was coming from with that. But listen, win Friday and without repeating myself, see how the next couple of games go after that. Get the first series of games done and see where we stand. But we've a squad to be extremely competitive. The league might be slightly beyond us, but we definitely have the squad to be thereabouts and to make it a really enjoyable season.
He did say, you just have to be able to hang in there for, 4 or 5 games to go.
Yeah.
And you have to, that only happens when you give yourself a good base to start off with. Like, you'd wonder where we would if we didn't have such an awful start last year. If we even had a mixed start last year, you just wonder where we would have finished in the league. And we certainly would have been fucking scrapping and dropping for the fourth place at the end. So, this is
Rovers
giving us a
are
good
gonna
foundation.
Rovers are gonna have 20-odd European games this season, more than likely. With group stages, I mean the way the pathway is there. So, again, if you can hang on in there, this is bold talk at the best of times. We're 3 games in here, and we're talking about hanging in there for a league title challenge. But there will be a long season for Rovers again on the back of a long season last year and the year before. So there could be a dip there coming. I know they've refreshed the squad a little bit, but listen, I'd prefer if you edited this bit out here, what we're talking about here, but let's get over Friday first of all and see where we are from there,
Yeah, look, you just have to peak. At the end of the day, we could get beaten on Friday, lose the next 3 or 4 games. So
Of course we could. Of course we could.
let's just enjoy and get
Let's
carried
hold
away
our
a
wish for the
little bit.
moment.
Yeah, let's just fucking enjoy it while we can, and dream a little bit while we can. And you
Oh,
never
I
know.
think that's half the fun, isn't it?
That's
Like
half the fun, absolutely.
walking
Football
out of
is
a
that.
stadium, walking out of a stadium after a win, or getting back on an away bus, or back into a boozer and chatting about being optimistic after a scrappy 1-0 win. That's what it's all about, I think. Yeah, if you don't let
Football is
yourself get
all.
carried away,
Football
what's
is
the
getting
point?
yourself carried away to eventually let yourself down. You know,
Absolutely.
this was absolutely it. But we'll move on to Friday, man, and we'll get a
Just on that
result
as well,
after.
and just the final to wrap up on that. It's nice to be able to look at the league table at the moment. It's nice to be able to look at the fixtures without reading them. Looking forward to
Yeah.
fixtures, looking forward to games, looking at the league table and not being embarrassed looking at the league table. So that's been, the most positive thing so far. Listening to different podcasts, now to read newspapers and just absorb yourself in the League of Ireland for the last couple of weeks because we're doing
Yeah,
well,
it's been great, yeah.
because when you're not doing well, the world can be grim enough in terms of
Yeah.
the media consumed. So
Yeah,
that's been
the last
enjoyable
two or
from
three
my
months
point
of
of
the
view.
season, the last two or three months of last season, I think took its toll on all our mental health.
Yeah.
It was just fucking
Yeah.
stressful beyond stressful every week, week in, week out. The Shells game, you won't fucking go back there, but Jesus Christ, when we lost that 3-2, it was
Not anyone since that Shell game.
Yeah,
Yeah,
God,
true
it's been
enough, actually, yeah.
that long, yeah. Well,
PTSD on.
a few of us went back to celebrate after the Drogheda game,
Yeah.
which was fun. Yeah, but God, yeah, that was it. It'll be a different daily man now on Friday than it was on that
Yeah,
grim
absolutely.
Sunday afternoon.
Before we wrap up, anyone with a nail spare Wilson Pickett for the game Friday gives a shout. A few staunch Bohemians looking here, trying to get into the ground on Friday. But we got a quick prediction off his men coming into the Dublin Derby. Potentially get 10 points on the board. Stretch the legs a little bit. Maybe in terms
Yeah,
of nice and
I got
early.
over 20 calls for tickets on Friday. Over 15 WhatsApp messages looking for tickets. No, I think we'll win. Listen, you can never be too confident against this lot. But I'm gonna say stick me neck out. We'll win 2-1 balls.
Yeah, look, if you're not going into this game with at least some sort of even blind confidence that you're going to win it, I don't think this club or this maybe the sport is for you. You have to look at it and think we're going to go make it a cauldron, get it people into the bars early, get it loud, get out into the stands. I think this game finishes 1-0 a lot, so I think I'll go 1-0 and a late goal, hopefully for maybe Colin Whelan.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I'm going to say, a funny feeling we might concede this Friday. Rovers could catch us on a fucking hop at some stage. It'd be interesting to see how we do react to going a goal down. How the team reacts mentally, how Reynolds reacts, you know. But I think we might hold out for
Sound
another,
reacts.
how the fans react, yeah.
I think that's important as well. Like if we could see an early goal to not go. I know we're doom and gloom merchants at the best of times, but not to go straight into that and
Yeah, it's not the
get
moan
behind
and
the team.
groaning, and
Like
every pass is greeted with groans and moans. Yeah, absolutely,
We've
100%.
scored five goals. We've scored 5 goals in 3 games. We haven't conceded one. Like we know there's goals in this team. It's about getting behind them until the last whistle. I think, at least for another few weeks, they've earned it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so look, I'm going to go 2-0 balls. I think the boy might pop up at one. I think maybe a Hickey or a Todd might header one in at some stage of the game. So 2-0 balls. We're hoping to be a
Did you
clean
not
sweep
say
on
we
here.
concede?
I think that we can still probably come out with a clean sheet if we fucking if we just start like a house on fire. I think we'll come out with a clean sheet. I've just a bad feeling that we're going to concede early.
Yeah, no, I can nearly see that mono stand lighting up with an
It's
early goal,
two or
but
three
like,
minutes in, and we're like, fuck,
yeah,
where do we go from
100%.
here?
We've seen that before, but hopefully we're the ones like the game last year in the 80 minute with the aggressive start and get into them. A few hard tackles that I think wouldn't go amiss. They've always kind of set the tone over the years with Detzer, Dan O'Byrne, even Adam McDonald over the last few years. Like now, a hard tackle early to set the tone and then let them know they're in a game and hopefully get on top from there.
I
I've
have 40
40
players
players
bought up for Section A for Friday. I'm just a bit wary about bringing them in now after Friday and Drogheda. They might
Yeah,
hold back the funding for the new Dailymount if I bring me 40 players with me. So, if any of the
I think
listeners are
my
there, I'm looking to sell 40 flares.
yeah,
right, man.
I'll throw in my bazooka with that P.
We'll wrap
Yeah.
up here, man, as we do every week. Go on the fucking balls.
Come on, Bo.
Come
Let's
on, the
fucking get into
balls.
them.